Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I trust the feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist is the Old Testament lesson for the occasion, Malachi 3, verses 1 to 4. Behold, I send my messenger, prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant will bring you to life. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? He will wrap a refiner's fire and like pillars of soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, till they present right offerings to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in days of old and as in former years. This is our text. Your friends in Christ Jesus. I don't think St. John the Baptist is a saint that we very easily identify with. For that matter, I'm not so sure which saint we easily identify with. The whole thing we find is also Catholic, so we would just soon take the Baptist route, I think. This has nothing particularly to do with the Reverend St. John the Baptist. Our Christocentricity, when the risk of almost becoming a Christomonism, so that the hub of the wheel sometimes is all that is left of the wheel. But apart from all of that, I think St. John the Baptist is a saint that is farther than usual to identify with. Why do I say that? Well, just look at the man's life and message. He was content merely to be a messenger. I kept talking to two messengers. He's the forerunner of the real messenger, and after the real messenger comes, we hear no more of the first messenger. His whole message was, he must increase, but I must decrease. I'm not worthy even to untie the shoelaces of him who comes after me. And think what happens as a result. All of John's disciples, and really all of them, take him and come to Jesus. Translate that into modern terms. They all left our church and transferred to a competitor's church. Well, they all left our classes and went over to some other professor's class, and apparently not merely because he was easier on me. The other man encourages him. He says about John that he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. And that's really telling the size of the room. No wonder there are those who think that after he's in prison for his teaching, that John was maybe expressing his own doubt when he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you really he who is to come, or do we look for another? I guess if John must have remained the great ideal itself for a ministry and for Christian life in general, that he could be only faithless messengers. But there's no salvation in great ideas. I think if one grows up, I think one of one's greatest disillusionments is to learn that often, not always of course, but often, even in the church, those churchmen whom you once looked up to, and you get to know them, you learn how very small they really are. I can see with ambition, how jealous of their salaries and prerogatives and advancements and all the rest. And of course, it's all been done for the kingdom. But it sounds more like a fulfillment of Jesus' words from the days of John the Baptist, and deny the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. St. Mark summarizes John's message with the phrase, his baptism of repentance. That the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And our text speaks of the refiner's fire and pillar's soap, all very rough stuff. And no mere fever is stopping, no mere discipline, but something having to do with death. And hence he can endure the day of his coming, and he can stand when he shall appear. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, with his darkness and not light, as Amos had seen. If we consider this being repentant, maybe we Lutherans in particular. To be aware that that was the first and really the main subject of the 95 theses. the sort of notion of bringing the events that culminated in the presentation of the actual confession, which we commemorate tomorrow. And the thesis then was, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said repent, he meant that the entire life of a Christian should be repentant. And I wonder if we should note how little note we take of that word in our own piety and teaching today, except in carefully controlled ritual context. In the secular test, one usually needs it in quotation marks. Even for us, it almost sounds characteristic, maybe kind of pastor. We're about as low as to be anything that sounds out there, if we ought to be anything that sounds Catholic. Sounds like something for spiritual overachievers, a professional scientist, or maybe people who have real talent, you know, to whom we could send this thing, and who would agree to say them. And I wonder how much our sins tend to accent that really how the gospel makes us feel good, content of the gospel, that will help give us a positive self-image in the life. Maybe we won't quite buy into that false gospel of human self-potential. And deep therapy is a substitute for the gospel and the life. But this intrinsic law component of the gospel, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ calls a man to follow him, he calls him in the first place to bow. And that certainly doesn't suffer from over-accent in our own teaching either. So maybe the major thing to accept in our text is that repentance is not just a praying prayer every day, a healing prayer, or experience that good feeling of giving it up at death. But we're talking about something sacramental, that something that God does for us in spite of ourselves, killing us, making us hate ourselves, giving us a loss of our old identity, and the reception of an entirely new identity and a new history as we are adopted into a new family. St. John the Baptist. Now, I know there are those who prefer to substitute St. John the Baptizer instead of St. John the Baptist. I suppose so that the last denomination doesn't get any free time. People have started types in the church and letters published in that. And I think that this is really a non issue, a fact, of course. No doubt a Lutheran can't conceal his conviction that the so called believer's baptism, which most Baptists hold, is a pretty radical Protestant character of St. John the Baptist's whole sacramental nature, especially with the real sacrament of how we are born again, which the second messenger about the messenger of heaven has taught and decreed to his church. But for all of that, we might ask whether those Baptist ideas are not very much bound up with our own life and practice, especially in connection with baptism. Repeatedly, when he is admonition and cut off, so we ought to emphasize baptism more, or the sacrament in general more, and not just from righteous people. So I think, nothing much ever really happened as a result of that. I think it's not only because of the intrinsic unpopularity of baptism that it becomes just another cheap little rite of initiation for infants, is not merely the resistance of our flesh to this message of daily dying of Christ and so on. But it's something that runs across the board in our practice. You can identify to say just what is Christ and what's here. And as I said, if you have a hard time identifying with John the Baptist, you have a hard time identifying with the other saints as well. One isn't surprised that on June 24th, the Nativity of John the Baptist falls in the middle of the week, as it does now, that most of our churches will hear anything of it. But if I were a betting man, as the saying goes, I think that odds would be pretty great that even if it fell on Sunday, churches would likely not hear anything of it either. And anyway, our teachers just are not alert and concerned with the rhythm of the church here. Very much, it's a sacrament in their teaching,
But now they're able to say, hey, good program, or just whatever great ideas they may have on their head, to which they can find some people to teach them one way or the other. In my own experience, this year for the first time, if you will, as you go over the sermons, we took note not only of that great high and the holy Mother's Day, but of Father's Day as well. And I must confess, I don't suggest it to a Mother's Day, from the church of the but it's the first time in my experience that Father's Day had ever greater degree of mention. Well, mind you, first time for mothers and fathers, legitimate ones, in the nuclear family, as they say these days. But are also times within the first year when we find a natural expression, then motherhood and fatherhood can be tied to the fatherhood of God and to the motherhood of the Holy Mother Church. It isn't clear to me that this practice differs much in principle from the liberal principle of letting the world write the church's agenda. And even though we don't identify us with the support of some revolutionaries in the third world, the very friendly, the principle appears to me to be very much the same. And even our baptisms thereof, don't they appear to follow the order of nature rather than the order of salvation? You know, when so-and-so has a baby, God means give him a few weeks rather than go after sitting first a few more minutes so that the kids can get baptized. That's about all that ever comes of it. That's the end of it. Rather than testing the baptisms of all the times within the church year itself, when that sacrament can really bring out the significant obedience perpetrated into a new family and a new history. And if you will allow me, it appears that even the anti-sacramentalists who were involved in the production of our new hymnal have succeeded before now as one of the major traditional expressions of the power of baptism, namely the power for them to find the biblical individual ceremony during Saturday evening. I kept describe the result of the work of the senior of their ability to present right offerings to Yahweh. And earlier in the book of Malachi, we had a prediction that in the end times there would be a universal offering of incense, and of pure offering from the rising of the sun to study. The commentaries are full of debates as to what that really refers to. Modern commentaries appear to exhaust truth completely, and one isn't really surprised with that. But the ancient church was quite sure that this refers, above all, to the Eucharistic sacrifice of the church, and is said as the apex of an entire life of sacrifice. Of right offering, made possible, of course, only by the one sufficient offering of Jesus Christ himself, into which we have been reborn and incorporated in the sacrament of baptism. So that we remind ourselves again this morning that just as in baptism, we do are saved from the flood, as Noah was, are saved from the fish's belly, as Jonah was. Become part of the remnant, returning from the Babylonian exile, as the seed of all of ancient Israel. And that above all, that in it we die and rise with Christ and see the existence. So also in the other fashion, in the Lord's Supper, our sacrifice of thanksgiving becomes the major means by which the benefits of Christ's sacrifice are communicated to us. So we too again celebrate the Passover. We join in the communion sacrifices of the Old Testament, also looking forward to Christ in one sense. We receive the manna from heaven as in the Old Testament. And already now we set foot, as it were, in the promised land, together with Israel of old, of which St. John the Baptist was the forerunner. We may have a hard time identifying with St. John the Baptist. Or even with baptism or the Eucharist on more than an intellectualistic kind of a basis. But I think if we really internalize this message, because our thought really is sacramental, And our ministry, life really is subordinated to the life of the church in Christ. When we recognize St. John the Baptist is really a man for all seasons of the earth, a man for all times, a man for the time between the times, the time between the first coming and the second coming, it is the time of the church by definition, the time of the sacrament and for us. So once again, this morning comes the invitation, come for all things on our ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm.